All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
No.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to Geek News Central, episode 1110. I'm Mike Dell, filling in for Todd Cochran, who is on travel. And I figured... We'd put a little bit out for you tonight. I don't have as big a stack of stuff as Todd normally does, but have some good stuff in the stack. But first, I want to talk about GoDaddy. That, as you know, GoDaddy has been a sponsor of Geek News Central now for a very long time. I don't know exactly how long, but I've been listening for 11 years, and I think GoDaddy's been with Todd for as long as they've been in the podcasting space. So that's very good, and keeps the lights on. If you want to save some money on some GoDaddy products, domain names and SSL certificates and all that good stuff, there's a bunch of promo codes that you can use over at geeknewscentral.com on the right-hand sidebar. Just click on the GoDaddy.com promo codes logo. And I saved around $25 on a SSL cert for my website here a while back, and using the promo code CJCGNC30 for 30% off a new product, and that worked out great. There's also a code for 99-cent new or transfer.com domain names, and there's $1 a month economy hosting, free with domain, or $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. There we go. Let's get that right. And then there's $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year. Also comes with a free domain. And there's just, you know, a few codes over there, and it really helps Todd keep the lights on in Honolulu. And keeps the writers writing and the website going and the podcast going. So if you are in need of any web-related products that GoDaddy handles, get on over there and use one of those promo codes. Of course, I have a couple of shows on the network, on the Tech Podcast Network. I do Geek of the North, which has been in hiatus lately, but we'll be starting back up here pretty soon. And I do Podcast Help Desk. That's where I teach people how to podcast and all that good stuff. Talk about podcasting in general. You know, very meta podcast about podcasting. But I enjoy it, so go check that out. It's weekly over at podcasthelpdesk.com. Of course, Geek of the North is over on the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. You can find it there. And subscribe to both of those if you want to hear my melodious tones more often. Otherwise, I get to co-host Todd's show here every once in a while, and I think this is the third time. I'm very honored to be here for GNC 1110. Well, those are big numbers. I usually get to, I think the highest one I've got to is like 242 on my little personal podcast. So it's quite an accomplishment for Todd to keep this going for so long. And I think he's showing no signs of stopping. So that's a good thing. So let's get into the stack of stuff here. I'm not really used to having this many tabs open on the browser, but hopefully the old Macintosh will hold together, and we'll get you some tech news that I found kind of interesting. One, this headline, I just love it. Man accidentally deletes his entire company with one line of bad code. And the article goes on, you know, talk about he accidentally told his computer to delete everything on his server. He's a hosting provider out in, I don't know where it's from. This story's from The Independent. I guess that's in the UK. And it just goes on to say that, you know, he basically he's messed up. He used a command, rm minus rf. And it's a basic piece of code that'll delete everything it's told to, but if you don't tell it to delete anything, it deletes everything. And he completely wiped out his little hosting company, and hopefully he had some backups. It doesn't really say that he does, but man, you really gotta, you know, when you get into the command line on something, you really gotta watch what you're doing, because you can cause one heck of a mess. But it was an interesting article, and of course there'll be links to everything I talk about in the show notes. And Uber and Lyft drivers will need to obtain business licenses in order to drive in San Francisco. This is over at TechCrunch, and of course a lot of the taxi cab companies have a lot of pull in some of these big cities, and they make laws to make driving for Uber and Lyft more of a pain. And, you know, you look at, you know, in San Francisco, it says they've got 37,018 drivers just in the San Francisco area. Really, there's that much need for for Uber and Lyft? You know, I'm thinking of New York. You know, last I heard, wasn't it like 20,000 yellow cabs in New York? And I'm sure there's, you know, maybe double or triple that Uber and Lyft stuff. I've never used Uber or Lyft. I'm up here in the woods in Michigan, and we don't have that. But, you know, I'm planning on using them when I get to a big city, which I do periodically. Now that they have it in Las Vegas, I'm more likely to use it. But, you know, to have to get a business license and all this stuff, you know, it's not prohibitively expensive, but, you know, it's around $90 a year, I guess, in San Francisco. And that just, you know, I don't know. You know, is that going to slow them down? You know, I don't know. You know, Uber has this problem, you know, that they're commercial drivers, so, you know, you probably have to have some sort of insurance. I'm not totally against it or for it. I just wonder how they can get away with, you know, some of the things they get away with, but, and then some places they can't. And I said in Las Vegas, it took them forever to get that passed, you know, in Las Vegas to where Uber and Lyft could work. But Las Vegas has the most ridiculous taxi cab laws of anywhere. I don't know if you guys know this, but in Las Vegas, you can't hail a cab. So if you're walking down the street and you see a cab coming up with his light on, you lift your hand up to get him. He's not allowed legally to stop and pick you up. You have to go to a designated taxi stand, which, you know, there's designated taxi stands at, you know, every one of the casinos and, you know, most restaurants and even in front of the Pawn Stars shop there on Las Vegas Boulevard. But, you know, you have to go to a designated taxi stand or the taxi's not even legally allowed to pick you up. And I don't know what that's all about. I think it's because of the valets that stand out in front of the casinos. They get tipped if they, you know, open the door to the taxi cab for you or something. But I guess in San Francisco, they're going to make them get a regular business license. And I don't know if that'll eat into the, you know, the people that want to drive for Uber or Lyft. Of course, I'm going to use Uber. I don't have anything against either one of them, but Uber seems to be in more places, so I'll probably use that more often. Actually got a trip to Chicago planned. I'm going to actually take Amtrak down. I've never done that. Have to check that out. They say they have Wi-Fi in the cars, and we'll see how that goes, but from Union Station to the hotel, I'm going to probably take an Uber. So that'll be my first experience with that. So the White House is trying to shake up the set-top box, or the cable box business. Not really set-top box, but I guess almost all cable now comes through the set-top box. I'm not really impressed with that. HD TVs now have a perfectly good tuner in them. I don't know why they can't just send it in the clear, but no, you got to have a box and plug it into HDMI. Of course, they want you to have it on HDMI 1 if you've got more than one HDMI, because they don't want these other set-top boxes. But the FCC is planning to make it so that other competition can come in there. So, perceivably, no, that's not the right word. See, I'm doing a Toddism. I guess that Toddism suppressor hasn't kicked in properly. But presumably, that means that outfits like Roku could make a cable tuner and have, your cable TV come in through Roku. I don't know if Roku's one of them that's going to do that, but that opens it up to where, there's some competition. So it's not just whatever the cable company has that you got to rent for $5 a month per box or more. You may be able to, access Netflix right from your cable box. And, if you go buy the cable box, then you get, you don't have to pay that, whatever it is they charge you to rent the cable boxes. Charter Cable here in Michigan recently switched to all digital. So there was, there's no, even if you have one of the old, analog TVs, you can't plug that into Charter Cable without a box. And, before, they had standard definition on, regular TV tuner channels, and you didn't need to have a set-top box. And if you had an HD set, some of the channels come in HD anyway without a box, but they've done away with that. And I think it's all because, they want you to use the box, and they make more money because they rent you the box, and they can track what you're, what channel you're on for how long and all that. So I can understand why, but I don't know. I'm seriously thinking about cutting the cord here. Only problem I have is our NBC station, which is one that I would watch a lot, is just outside of where I can pick it up reliably without vastly improving my antenna situation. But so it'll be interesting, though, to see, what players get into the cable box business when the FCC opens that up. Don't know if I agree with that or not, but I think it could bring some interesting stuff. It'd be kind of nice to have, maybe even Apple TV. Apple TV might combine, well, maybe not Apple, but one of them might combine a DVR and all that stuff, right in the same box with Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that stuff. So that might be kind of interesting. I don't know of any cable companies, at least Charter, I know, doesn't have all that, but of course they don't want you watching Netflix. They want you to pay for all the premium cable channels. And I could get on a whole soapbox about cable TV, but I don't think I ought to here. Maybe I'll do that on Geek of the North sometime. I'll do a whole episode about the cable TV business and the satellite TV business. But I'm still thinking that not too distant future, you're just going to be able to buy whatever channels you want and get them through the internet, and the cable companies are going to end up just being, internet service providers, which, they can make a decent living at that. I don't necessarily know why they won't do that. Of course, we've been talking about that forever, the a la carte channels. But, if I could just get, the four major networks and or five, I guess, if you count PBS. I don't know if that's really a major network, but it's interesting sometimes. But if I could just get that and then, you know, I could just buy, say, the History Channel or Velocity Channel or ESPN or something. I guess you sort of can with what is that? Sling TV. So I guess, yeah, you can buy, you know, I think it's ESPN and History and a few other channels right there with that, you know, with that Sling TV thing. But, you know, like I said, I'm thinking about cutting the cord because, you know, most of the shows I watch now are either on Prime or Netflix or whatever. And yeah, of course, you pay $10 a month to Netflix and $100 a year to Prime and whatever. But, you know, I just paid my cable bill today and, you know, and we've got a, you know, the pretty basic package and it's, what is it, $130, $140? Of course, that includes the internet. And I use them for my internet provider and I don't use them for my phone provider. It'd be an interesting poll to do of the Geek News Central listeners. How many of you guys have a landline phone anymore? But I guess I'm going off on a tangent. And what would a Geek News show be without some Apple news? Apple just dropped a huge clue that OS X is going to be renamed. It's going to be renamed macOS. Now, this isn't official, but they had kind of a clue. This is over on The Verge. Let's see here. Trying to read the little thing. Let's see. All right. Darn it. Okay, yeah, there's a new environmental webpage to honor Earth Day 2016, which is also my 10th anniversary. We got married on Earth Day. Not on purpose. It just worked out that way. But anyway, evaluates product life sales. It says years of use, which are based on first owners, are assumed to be 4 years for macOS and tvOS devices and 3 years for iOS and watchOS devices. And so, you know, they said macOS, not macOS 10 or OS X. So maybe they're going to change the name of OS 10. Well, it makes sense. They're, you know, OS 10.11 or something now. You know, eventually they got to come up with either OS 11 or rename things. And I think macOS makes sense. You call it macOS 11.2 or whatever they're going to call it, but they don't have to call it OS 10 anymore. Of course, I think Windows is going to be about the same thing. You know, they're going to go Windows 10 and they're just going to keep updating that. I doubt they're going to come out with another major release anytime real soon, if ever. Or at least, you know, name changes. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. And I think macOS will be the same. Or OS 10, which I am a fan of. See, you probably heard about this, 36,000 Verizon. Whoa, don't you love it when video plays? All right, I hate autoplay video. Sorry about that. 36,000 Verizon workers are on strike. You probably heard about that. They walked off their job Wednesday after failing to reach a new labor agreement. And they're most of the striking workers are working for the landline phone business and Fios broadband, so it's not really the Verizon wireless. It's mostly the, like I said, the Fios and telephone segments of it. But they've gone strike, so it's going to be even harder to get Fios installed than it ever was. Of course, I don't have to worry about that up here in the woods, so I guess we'll press on to something else. Microsoft sues feds to say when the government asks for your emails. And with the Patriot Act, when one of those email service providers gets a request from the government to look at your emails, they are prohibited from telling you that they got that court order. And Microsoft filed suit on Wednesday in federal court in the Western District of Washington and going to try to get that overturned to where they can tell you that they got a court order to look at your email. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess I would like to know if Uncle Sam needs to root through my email, but I wouldn't know what he'd want to do that for. As I'm pretty boring when it comes to my email anyway. So who knows? But we'll see how that goes. We'll keep track of that for sure. I'd like to, I think it would be probably good. Then again, if you're a terrorist, I'd rather they not tell the terrorists that they're looking through the email. I'm kind of torn on that one. What do you guys think? And let's see here. I don't know if this is really a big story. Another Apple thing. Apple orders 100 million OLED iPhone screens for 2017. So says a report. And, of course, they're going to be made by Samsung. I had a Samsung phone, several years ago. It had an OLED on it. It was a really nice screen. But I don't know if iPhone will go to that or not. I guess we'll see. But it says they ordered 100 million 5.5-inch OLED screens starting in 2017. And, so I guess that means the big phone. I got one of those iPhone 6 Pluses. I didn't get the 6S Plus because I got mine a little before that, and I'm not going to pay extra for the whatever that's called, where, the amount of pressure you put on the screen matters. So, and I guess next year it's going to be the iPhone 7S Plus. But, of course, Apple doesn't always stay with their naming conventions. So, because they came out with that updated iPhone 5S, which they call the iPhone SE, which makes sense, though. They put a number on it, and then they come out with a bigger number. Everybody wants the bigger number one. As a marketing thing, that's a good thing, but for the average person that would buy a lower-cost iPhone, they're not looking to upgrade all the time. They just want an iPhone. So the SE thing makes sense, but yeah, we'll see if Apple goes with the OLED screen. We've also got a 5.8-inch OLED screen. That'd be interesting. So an even bigger, ridiculous clown phone-sized iPhone. I call mine clown phone, because when I first got it, it seemed like I was holding a surfboard up to my ear, but got used to it fairly quickly. And whenever I pick up my wife's phone, which she's got an iPhone 5S, and every time I pick up her phone, I can't believe I lived on such a small screen. So be it. So here's a story that probably would go better on Health Tech Weekly, but I thought it was really cool. It's a hand-powered wheelchair that can scoot around upright. So it's kind of a standing wheelchair. And before Segway inventor Dean Kamen created the Segway, he came up with a self-balancing wheelchair called the iBot. And it was a really neat thing, but it cost $25,000. And it's no longer available anyway, but there's a new all-mechanical alternative. And it's, going to improve the lives of those that have to be in a wheelchair that can, use a manual wheelchair. And it was created at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Hospital by Dr. Gary Goldish, who consulted with a team of engineers. And it's really a neat thing. There's a video of how it works. A person can use their hands on the big wheels, and they flip a lever and wind this thing up, and it winds them up to a standing position. And then, they put it in a different gear and they can, wheel around more or less standing up. And it's just another way for those that are confined to a wheelchair to get around. You know, I wouldn't want to take any big hills in that position, but you know, for wheeling around inside or something like that. Plus, it takes the pressure points off. You know, so you know, the people that are in wheelchairs tend to have problems with, you know, like bed sore type things. This will allow them to change position and could be much healthier overall. So good on them. And that story's over at Gizmodo. And also at Gizmodo, heard of the tiny kangaroo PC? Well, now you can add a hard drive to it. The original kangaroo mobile desktop had 32 gigabytes of onboard storage with external drives, but the new Kangaroo Mobile Desktop Pro goes a step further by adding a 2.5-inch drive bay, so it lets you install, you know, terabytes. And looks like quite the little device. You know, I'm not familiar with the Kangaroo, but it looks like it's probably, what, about, I don't know, maybe 10 inches by 2 or 3 inches. It's like maybe a third of a normal laptop size. Of course, you got to plug it into a monitor, but it has all the ins and outs from, you know, of a normal PC, but fits in a large pocket. So, yeah, kind of a neat device. So I guess if you had, you know, a keyboard and screen and all that at one spot and you wanted to move it around instead of, you know, lugging a laptop around, you just lug this little thing around and, you know, you just have to have multiple screens. But, you know, that could be the solution, you know, for people that work at home and, you know, have a couple of spots in their house that they want to work and they just don't want to work off a laptop. So I think it's a neat device. And now that you can put a big hard drive on it, probably be a pretty powerful device. What their specs are on, you know, as far as processor and memory and all that stuff, but yeah, looks like a neat idea. And glad they're doing it. I guess it'd be like a Raspberry Pi on steroids. I don't know. But very cool. And let's see, last thing on my stack, or second to the last, I guess, the guy that came up with the Amazon Echo, or actually, you know, helped build the actual hardware and firmware and all that stuff, has been busy over the last year and a half or so. He's come up with a juicer, a $700 magic juicer. I think this is a very good deal, but kind of a neat thing. And yeah, you have to pay $700 for this thing, and then you have to pay between $4 and $10 for a packet that goes in it to make an 8-ounce glass of juice. So definitely not economically nice, but the nice thing is you don't have to clean the thing, because I guess the little packets come in such a way that the machine does all the work and all the mess stays in the little packets that you got to buy. But I don't know if I'd go for that. But speaking of the Echo, I want to kind of give you my little review of the Amazon Echo. And I can't say the word that I use to activate the thing lest mine starts going off. But, you know, the Echo is really a neat thing. I call it a vastly improved Bluetooth speaker that doesn't actually require Bluetooth, because, you know, most things you can listen to straight off Wi-Fi. You don't even have to have a computer in the house. You do have to have Wi-Fi, and you do have to have an app on a device of some sort. Works with Android, works with Apple devices. I think probably Windows Phone. I don't know. Of course, it'll work with Kindle Fire, and does Amazon still make that phone? I haven't heard much about that lately. I have to look that up. But anyway, you know, pretty much any little mobile device, you get the Alexa app. Oh, nope, she woke up. Darn it. I gotta wait for her to shut up. Okay. But anyway, I really like mine. I, you know, listen to local radio stations in the morning, and, you know, instead of having a radio down here in the basement, you know, where, you know, I, like I said, live out in the woods, so I don't have great radio reception here, but I do have decent internet, and with the Echo, I just tell it to listen to whatever station I want to listen to, either local or worldwide. It's great because it, you know, has tune-in radio built into it. And as of the time of recording, the tune-in doesn't have any of the commercials from tune-in. I mean, of course, it has the commercials on the radio station, but, you know, if you want to listen to a local radio station pretty much anywhere in the world, as long as they're either on tune-in or iHeartRadio, you just ask it to do that. That's what I use it for a lot. You can also tell it to play podcast Geek News Central, and it'll come up through TuneIn Radio. And that's how I listen to Geek News Central now. I don't have it subscribed like I used to. I probably should, but I don't, because that's when I listen to it. I listen to it when I'm in the office here and the studio, and I do that via the Echo. The news thing, it's okay. I'm sure it's going to get better. You know, if you like NPR news, it gives you all the NPR news, and, you know, has some other sources, but, you know, that's of limited use because I can go through a whole lot more of that on the screen, you know, on my computer, and not have to listen to either the computerized voice on the Echo or anything else. So I just, you know, I don't know. The news thing's okay. Sports, you know, you can have it do a sports report, so you can tell it what teams you want to keep track of, and I'm sure that works out pretty good, although currently there's not much going on in the sports world that I'm interested in. You know, I'm more of a college football type, so, you know, this time of year is kind of lame for that. I do like to keep track of the baseball stuff, the Detroit Tigers. That's my team that I can't really listen to or watch the games too much, but I kind of like to keep up with the statistics. Of course, I'm a NASCAR fan, and it doesn't know a thing about NASCAR. Neither does Siri, for that matter. So none of these voice services that I know of have anything to do with NASCAR yet, but hopefully they'll add that at some point. It'd be kind of nice to get the NASCAR update. Of course, I can listen to the NASCAR races by picking a radio station that has NASCAR on when the races are going. But, and, you know, I haven't really played with it too much with any of the other stuff. It's got a scheduler. You know, you can tell it to set an alarm. You can tell it to check in, you know, like if you have if this, then that. It has a channel on there, so you can tell it to trigger a recipe from if then, or if this, then that. And I've used that for a couple things. I use that to keep a database of when I'm working and when I'm not. So I tell it to trigger my, you know, start working and stop working. So I keep a Google spreadsheet of my time while I'm working. It's just kind of an interesting thing. Yeah, that's about all I've really tried with it. They've got a whole, what they call abilities thing that you can enable a bunch of other stuff, but I haven't really dug deep into it. I've only had the thing a couple weeks, and so far I like it. Got decent sound quality, you know, good enough for, you know, something in an office or whatever. Yeah, you're not going to have a, you know, cocktail party and have it be loud enough to really be, you know, useful, but yeah, I don't know, not bad. Not bad at all for an interesting device. It's a bit overpriced, if you ask me. It was $180, but it's definitely the best Bluetooth speaker you'll ever have, because, yeah, you can hook it up as a Bluetooth speaker and, you know, run it through your phone or your computer. you know, I sometimes have my computer sound hooked up to it, or I'll have my iPad hooked up to it, and that works out pretty good. And, you know, it has some decent range, you know, as far as the Bluetooth goes. You know, as long as you're in the same room, it probably works good. You know, 4 feet away from it, it works great. So far, I like it. I don't know if it's worth the money. They do have a cheaper option called the Echo Dot, and that I think began shipping here real recently. And you know, I haven't seen one yet, but it's basically has the same functionality as the Echo, but you have to provide your own speakers. So if you got a nice stereo system, this would be a great addition to that. It'll also do home automation, I guess. I don't have any of those devices, but you know, like Philips Hue bulbs and any other sort of home automation. So I guess if you had a hooked up to a stereo system, you could have one of the home automation things be to turn on the stereo. So it would be almost hands-free, just like the full-blown Echo is. But I don't know. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. I'm going to cut this off. What is it, about 35 minutes? That's not bad. Hopefully you have a great weekend, and not sure when Todd's going to be back. I don't know about a Monday-Tuesday show. Unless I do it again, I don't know. I have to check with Todd. He's going to be in Las Vegas for the NAB show, along with, he was at some radio conference in Hollywood, and forgive me for not remembering what that's called, but he was speaking at it today on a panel with Rob Walsh from Libsyn and a few other luminaries in the podcasting world. And he'll, like I said, be at the National Association of Broadcasters in Las Vegas this week. And I think he's also going to some other radio conference just before NAB. So that'll he'll get his fill of conferences, that's for sure. But there's a lot of news coming out now from NAB, even though it hasn't started, over at ProGear.Guru. Part of the Geek News Central stable of sites. And Sean Thorpe's been writing up a bunch of stuff over there, and Jen, too. I haven't seen, I think it's just Sean and Jen so far, but they're coming hot and heavy. So if you're into the broadcasting and pro gear stuff for audio, video, go check that out over at ProGear.Guru. Of course, all the partner shows for Geek News Central. You got the Gadget Professor, Don Bain, who's also at NAB this week. He's hosting his live shows there for, I forget who, but he does that every year. And Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis is part of the GNC family. And then No Better Than Average. And I haven't got into listening to that one yet, but it's on my list of shows to try. So go check that out. Also, if you're a podcaster or a avid podcast listener, the 11th Annual Podcast Awards nominations open today. So if you want to go over and nominate your favorite show, of course, Geek News Central is not a show that can be nominated because, you know, conflicts of interest and whatever. And also, if you nominate a show, you should contact the host of the show that you nominated to have them go over and register, because if the show's not registered, the nominations will not count. So make sure your podcast host knows to go register their show over at the Podcast Awards site at podcastawards.com. Again, this is Mike Dell. I'm the host of Podcast Help Desk over at podcasthelpdesk.com and Geek of the North over at the Modern Life Podcast Network. So go check those out if you're so inclined. And again, thanks for listening.